Hello and welcome to Starter Set. My name is Ed Sylvester.
And my name is Sam Bradley.
And welcome to the show that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons and Dragons. Sam, where can the people find us on social media, my friend?
That's that barbarian training coming through and all that grunting. They can get us on Twitter at Starter Set Show. They can get us on Instagram and Facebook, Starter Set Podcast. And as always, we are everywhere you can get podcasts, except all together now, Google Play. There you go.
Excellent. Lovely stuff. And welcome to another episode of Enchanter's Corner, where we look at a class and make a magical item for that class. This week, we are doing the sneakiest of the sneakiest, the stabby in the back guys, rogues.
Rogues.
Thank you. If you want to find out more about rogues and hear us do that pun again on that episode, go back to, I believe it's episode 14, have a listen to kind of get a little few tips on role-playing and how they mechanically work. Now, into storytelling and lore. Sam, you'll go first?
I think so, yeah. I can't quite remember who went first last
week. No, I go because you did the limericks last week.
Yes, I did.
You
don't
did.
Expect
Excellent.
Anything nearly as impressive this week.
All right, lovely stuff. So
subtly lowering expectation.
Here we go into a little bit of lore.
Hit me.
That's my classic throat clearing, which always makes me do a fuck up afterwards as well. Right, here we go. Just one. Allow me to take you to the Southern Horn Peninsula, a barren wasteland of long deserts and towering rock formations, scrubland where the sun cooks the earth and the moon brings around freezing temperatures. Only the bravest, the most desperate, or the most foolish come to the Southern Horn seeking fortune, forgiveness, or a chance at a new life.
Ooh.
Those desperate few live within frontier towns where ecosystems are held together on a knife point. The balance of towns thriving or falling into ruin can be interrupted by the smallest of problems. A lost caravan a day late can spell doom for a town down to its final water barrel. A farmer's flock devastated by a roving pack of gnolls will bring the end to a flourishing neighborhood. But the people of the Southern Horn persevere, for even with the great threat of failure, the rewards can be intensely lucrative. I am, of course, as many of you know, talking of iridium, a metal of extreme rarity all over, but mainly found in the Southern Horn. A single barrel of this dense material can set the finder up comfortably for the rest of their life. Now, finding a whole mine's worth, that is a grand prize. The Southern Horn has many tales of ne'er-do-wells and people of a less-than-savoury character. Allow me, if you may, to tell you of one such salted individual. Let me tell you the tale of Thrice Hung Ned. Right. Nedthaniel Arimathias, a half-elf who never quite belonged with either of his people. They say that he made his way to the Southern Horn after murdering one of the High Elven family during a drunken bout. But to be fair, the people of the Horn don't tend to ask too many questions
nice.
About others.
Save that.
Upon first coming to the Horn, Ned found himself pressed ganged into one of the local militias, the Plains Hunters. These militia tended to be self-appointed, warped versions of the law, with many of them occupying the area and most abusing their power for personal gain. That gain, undoubtedly, iridium. Now, the Plains Hunters had amassed themselves quite a haul of close to 4 hands worth of iridium. That being the case, until it vanished from camp along with Ned. The Plains Walkers hunted Ned down over the next year, finally cornering him in a back alley one scorched morning, dragging him out into the street where the leader of the crew, a full-blooded orc by the name of Grounder, placed a rope around his neck and asked,
"About time you quit running, Neddy boy! Where's the iridium? We know you stashed it, tell me and I'll grant you a last request."
It's over by the Bahir Gully. We camped there about half a year's back now. How about a final smoke from my favourite pipe?
Granted, but then I'ma watch you dance!
Oh, you fool. He shouldn't... there's fuckery there is, about
there is,
here.
There Go is on. Jiggery and fuckery. The pipe was placed in the half-elf's mouth. He took a long, drawn-out drag as the rope tightened around his neck. Those who were watching in the street that day claim that Ned was pulled into the air by his neck and then seemed to shift and disappear, turning into a cloud of smoke himself. They also claim
what?
Grounder was incandescent with rage and howled obscenities at the sky. When he went to the place sighted by Ned, only to find the hall missing and along with a written note saying, "Sorry to be a pain in the neck."
Nice.
A few weeks pass, and another story from a town nearby, merely 2 days south. It was an incident that had gossips around the town alight with excitement. It was whispered over drinks and by passers-by in the street about a young half-elf who had recently seduced the mayor's wife and then made off...
Naughty.
Exactly, and then made off with the contents of the mayor's safe, a priceless iridium artifact. They did then go on to say that the culprit was found and hanged, but the belongings never returned. As by now you have no doubt summarised that this was once again Ned, who by use of his magical pipe avoided the noose. Now, if you were so inclined and had the means to travel both distance and in time, shifting further down the coast and forwards by 3 years, you may come across a large estate, where no expense had been spared. Great green fields, huge houses, separate stables, tall walls, and a main house of such grandeur it's almost nauseating. Of course, said house belonged to Ned, who had spent the time and the stolen iridium to improve his situation accordingly.
Fair play.
Now, 3 years have passed, and by this time, some semblance of real law had been brought into the land, and a local magistrate, who was puppeteered by both Grounder and the wronged mayor, had issued an arrest warrant for Ned, calling for seizure of both his estate and his life. Now, I'm sure the more perceptive of you can tell where this is going.
He's done one, hasn't he?
Once again, the gossips had a new story to tell about a rich man who approached the gallows with confidence in his stride, a smile upon his face, and a smoking pipe in one hand. Right.
There you go. I like that. That's nice lore, that is, mate.
So,
I like that a lot. That's really
this
cool.
Magic item is called the Last mm-hmm. Request Pipe. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the owner... Now, ultimately, what it does is it has a singular charge of the spell Gaseous Form. Now, Gaseous Form... I'll give you a breakdown, and we won't do what's that spell, because I'm pretty sure you've understood what it does. You choose a willing creature you touch, and everything it's wearing and carrying go into a misty cloud for the duration of the spell, right? Now, while in this mm-hmm. form, the target's only method of movement is a flying speed of 10 feet. It can occupy the space of another creature. It has resistance to non-magical damage. It has advantage on strength, dexterity, constitution saving throws. The target can pass through small holes, narrow openings, and even mere cracks, though it treats liquids as though they were solid surfaces. Okay? So ultimately, I'm a smoke man. Now, with the pipe, what you can do is the owner may attempt a charisma check, starting at a DC check of 10 to a target who will basically do them harm, right? Or is about to murder them in whichever way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Headsman X, gallows, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Now, each time this is used, the DC is increased by 5 because people learn. Okay? So it's a DC 10
right,
to begin with because nobody really... Oh, sure, you can have a last cigarette and then I'm going to fucking murder you. Then next time, mm-hmm. you go, "Oh, can I have my last pipe, please?" And you go, "Hang on.
You can, but we'll be watching
yeah,
you.
Something...
That guy over there isn't carrying a fan for nothing."
Exactly. that's the way that you beat it. A big fan. I like that. And then, so it's progressively harder for them to then be tricked by it, ultimately. But very handy for a rogue in most mm-hmm. situations, specifically that thief who wants to steal something mm-hmm. and slide into areas unperturbed by simple things like bars and doors and things like that. Yeah, that's the last request pipe.
Like that a lot. Yeah, that's really good, man.
Thanks.
Kind of makes sense as well. Yeah, that's really cool, man. All right.
What you got, Sam? Yeah.
Okay, so you ready for me to go? I got magical items. Magical item galore. Yes, so anyone who has just started listening to the show, I first of all suggest you go back and listen to the Making a Metropolis series that we did before this, and check out in particular episode 42, because that features a character that is referenced within my lore, and that lore is thus lore: the Flask of Noise and the Legend of the Black Beak. Stealth, sabotage, and shadowy practices are all commonplace among rogues, but this week's item was actually crafted by a small band of bards trained at the Floating College of Liquid Success in the People's Republic of Aquilibrium. Yay for throwbacks. As many listeners may know, bards of a high level can bend sound and warp it and use it as a weapon, but this side project goes one step further, if you will. One night, while poring through tomes on sound for a last-minute assignment, a small group of bards came across Flogger's Nora's private diaries, some of which were salvaged during the sinking of the college. Among the still moist pages lay musings that Nora had regarding sound as a malleable element. The bards were curious and proceeded to spend the next 4 years crafting an item that could hold sound and release it at a later date on command. After years of study and crafting, the bards proudly presented the Flask of Noise, a device that could store 1 liter of sound, or about an hour's worth of noise. Of course, as with all discoveries, there are those that seek to abuse them. One such abuser was Kenku Rogue, Sneaky Sneaky Bobiki. One night he swept, which, did he think of the name and then work backwards? Yes, he did. One night, he swept into the college under cover of night and stole the flask for himself. It was only then that the legend of the Black Beak began. Over the next few years, stories of an invisible, noiseless thief left guards across the city stumped. Not only was the thief apparently silent and invisible, they were believed to be able to be in 2 places at one time. Guards would hear tapping in one room, only to find another room burgled at the very same time. The Black Beak stole everything from everywhere previously thought unrobbable, including palaces, banks, and, interestingly enough, he even stole a violin performance as the violinist was playing. Ooh. Only after a diabolical plan involving a large mirror and an even larger box was the Black Beak caught and the secret to his success discovered. So, that's a little bit of a truncated lore. What's really interesting, I feel like, is what this can actually do. So the flask is basically like a bamboo flask, as you would see.
Ooh, I like that.
In our world, just a normal one with a small rotating top. Has several different uses, and basically it helps if you go into this thinking of noise like water, something that can be caught in a flask, because it makes way more sense. So first off, if you leave the flask open, it will absorb all the sound within 5 feet for 1 in-game hour, meaning you can fucking run through places. You can run across marble floors wearing tap shoes, and as long as they don't see you, they won't hear you, because all the noise of your tap shoes will be absorbed into the flask. Mm-hmm. So all that will be stored in the flask. So that's one use for it, which also means, yeah, to all intents and purposes, you can walk around noiselessly for an hour, but wait, there is more. You can also release the sound as means of a distraction by leaving the cap ever so slightly off until, like a fizzy drink, the sound begin to leak out. And here's where the Kenku element gets interesting. Obviously, I mentioned that Sneaky Sneaky Bobiki was a Kenku. Obviously, they can't talk. So what you can do is record sounds and catch sounds and then play them back, because once the flask is full, the flask is full. And one more thing you can do with it is you can also use the flask to silence people shouting for help. If you open it in their face, the flask will absorb the cry for help.
Nice. Okay, I like that. That's definitely
catching the sound. Yeah, I like the idea that you could just sort of... you know, shake it up a bit, leave the flask top half off, leave it behind the door, secrete yourself into another room, and then just give it a minute, and then there's also that sort of from earlier just playing in another room, and it lures the guards out, and you can go thieving and stealing. I know it's kind of, my ones are less rooted in the science of the game, because I don't understand still after 54 or whatever episodes of the science of the game the way it does, but I thought that maybe to use this you could get like a small hourglass and leave it one way for when you're recording, big air quotes, sound, and then turn it the other way for when you're emptying it, so you get a kind of how full.
Actually a table, yeah, on your real world table. I like that. That's really nice, actually. I don't think people use things like that well enough. I mean, obviously, I think you could, along with your DM, you could pretty much figure it out, whatever you need to do for the hour, but that's a really nice way of doing what. So when it goes, when it returns backwards, okay, this is my question on it. Does it reverse chronologically do the sounds that went in? So if the last thing I recorded was somebody screaming for help, because let's say I've gone up behind them and I've shanked him because I am a rogue, will the next thing, when I go and open up the bottle in another room to get somebody else's attention, be that shout for help?
Yes.
Nice. And then you stab that guy and his shout for help goes into the bottle.
Just help and help and help. And then you open it at the end of the day and you empty and it's just help, 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 help.
I mean, I like this. This one is actually a really nice one from the lore point of view, because obviously he's a Kenku. Sneaky Bobiki.
Bobiki.
Yeah, excellent. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, if he's never been caught, how do they know he's a Kenku? But he got caught with a mirror in a box. It works so nicely with their whole shtick. You know what I mean? They don't have a voice, so they're mimics and they copy people's voices. And then this literally does a very similar thing, but you're being able to capture it and take it away from other things and put it in. Yeah, love it.
I also kind of like, it's kind of like ye old voicemail, because you can, if something happens, let's say our heroes wander upon this flask and they open it and they like, what is this? And all of a sudden this voice comes out and said, there used to be a village here, shit went down, run if you found this flask.
Oh, nice. This is like any sort of audio recording based element in a video game.
Essentially, yeah, it's like, help me Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
The Krampus is coming, or whatever.
Yep, it could definitely be that. I'd hate to see that crossover film, though. That'd be
and
so
other
weird.
Sentences you never thought you'd say.
Yeah, brilliant. Nice. All right, so those are our rogue magical items. We have the last request pipe and the jug of noiselessness?
Flask of noise.
Sorry,
flask. The flask of noise. You can't put a top on a jug. Unbelievable.
You could pour it, though.
Carry on. Such blatant disregard for my flask.
So those are our items. Let's move on to my favourite at the moment elements of the show, training talks. We've actually got a name for it now.
There we go, see?
So as I'm sure a few of you are aware, we have got real world class trainers. Sam is being trained by a tabaxi bard who is called...
Lenny Klawvitz.
Lenny Klawvitz,
I believe.
Yep, and
well, actually, yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, I am being trained by No Can the Barbarian. So, Sam, what's Lenny been teaching you this week, my friend?
Well, here's the thing. I actually, Lenny and I have had to part company. He's gone on tour with the Lenny Klawvitz Doodah Smacky Face Band, which is his... bardic group.
Right.
So I actually had to track down Sneaky Bobiki.
That must have been difficult as a bird man.
Yeah, it was hot. It was a lot of looking up, I'll be honest.
Right.
A lot of looking up. But fool me twice, I just had a big mirror. He came, boom, straight into it. Tied him up. Anyway, okay. We're mates now. And what he taught me was the art of perfect silence. And like most people think they can be quiet, but just like you get like regular quiet where you can sort of
You can hear people breathing in the background.
Yeah.
But he taught me the art of... You ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Just regular silence. Just that. Just perfect, empty, just... Like that.
God. I mean, that is...
I know. I mean, there's quiet. There's sort of like... quiet. But then there's... Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Perfect silence.
I do. It's like a perfect...
We stared at each other for hours. Just... eye to eye. Just... total silence.
Did that allow you to develop a deeper understanding of the universe and of those noises that are made around you?
Well, we were outside, so there was a lot of external noise. So I think I only got some of the benefit. But he looked like he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And
was he still tied up at this moment in time?
Yeah, he was. But, he could have probably got out. I should check on him, really. Bring him a jug of water.
Oh, he's still tied up.
Or a flask of water. Yeah, he is very much tied up. He's become more angry with me. And he's got a very large beak. So I think I'm just going to wait for Lenny to get back. And I think we'll just deal with the situation then.
Sure. I mean, I think if anybody is more... qualified to deal with a large bird person, it would be a large cat person.
Exactly right.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can see your thought process there, definitely.
But yeah, perfect silence. Just like that.
Yeah, no, that's
perfect
great.
Silence.
Do you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of my battle cry from last week, which is just at such a high pitch that... yeah. Only dogs can hear it.
It does.
It's amazing how those two things have somehow managed to create the same overall output.
Well, you know, it is amazing, and I can see the tone that you're implying. Like, oh, Sam's a fuck up and he hasn't properly prepared.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's not what I'm saying at all. What?
This is what starts at listening. You just got to just channel. Just when people are coming at you, when the haters are on you, just... it's perfect silence.
Yeah, no, I like it. All right, so I have my trainer is a barbarian, ergo tends to stick around a little bit, if I'm going to be completely honest, because ultimately everything in this world is a magical, miraculous new device for him. So I buy children's toys and he is entertained for hours.
What have you got him?
Favorite game at the moment: square peg, round hole.
Now that's okay.
Well,
go on.
This is the problem. Is so obviously it comes as you know, small children get given toys where they associate shapes with the holes and then they push those through. Now, as a brain over brawn, sorry, the other way around, brawn over brain.
That's the one.
Individual. Just makes the holes fit the shapes. So he just smashes the shapes through the holes.
That's got to turn it into quite an expensive hobby.
It is.
Quite early
I've
down
had
the line.
To buy 7 or 8 copies of this game because every so often he does get it right first time. which I'm not like. I look at it and I'm like, oh yes, thank you, No Can.
thank God. But then right after,
yeah.
I imagine he's just bang.
Yes, exactly. So it's only a very short amount of time. But you know, I'm still learning things. This week we went into the barbarian diet.
Ooh.
Yeah, so
mainly meat based, or is that a common misconception?
It's quite meat based. So you know how we have a sort of four or five, I think it depends on what sort of government you have, areas of food. Right, so carbs, cereals, quiche, I don't know, you know, those ones.
And chocolate.
Chocolate, yeah. So you know how we have those. So the barbarian one...
Those are the four food groups,
Yes, exactly. So the barbarian one is very, very similar. It is meat, and this is white meat here. It is meat, which is obviously dark meat, and then it is meat, which is fish... and then finally it has meat miscellaneous.
Hair.
Well, no. So miscellaneous is pretty much just anything else. It's more... it took me a while to figure this out, but No Can, upon... So... I've obviously explained the first three there, and everybody kind of gets those. So meat miscellaneous is just a reclassification of things that aren't meat, right? Now, this took a long time for me to figure out, because I was like, what about this potato? And he was like, meat miscellaneous.
Right, so it is ostensibly, no disrespect to the trainer, it is food groups developed by someone who sounds like they've had some sort of head injury or something like that, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, he's not a specialist in this area. Apparently there are barbarian nutritionists back from his hometown. They have a few diets. They've got Mito, Pleto and Leto. I think one of those has sort of come over here, which is obviously the keto diet, but he's a follower of the Mito diet, which obviously only you eat one meat from each food group a day, basically.
God.
Yeah.
So you have to eat a chicken, a pig and a cow every day.
That is correct. That is the other thing that I should also point out. If eating an animal, you have to eat the whole animal. Okay?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What's his fucking cholesterol?
I mean, he tells me he's 25. He looks sort of, I mean, don't get me wrong, absolutely shredded, but definitely has some sort of cardio issues every so often. For lack of a better term, gas is a real issue too. But hey,
I can imagine.
I've tried it out this week. I can confirm eating a whole cow in a day, very difficult. Yep, as you can imagine, I'm incredibly bloated, but hey, these are the things that we do.
You managed it.
Yeah, I did. This is what we do here at Starter Set. We find out these things so you don't have to.
Exactly. How else would you know what perfect silence sounds like and what it's like to eat a cow every day?
Exactly. Right, shall we end the show after that?
I'm saying a lot of sentences I never thought I'd say. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, as always, we have been Starter Set and you have been our lovely listeners. If you enjoyed the show, do please leave a comment on any of the platforms that you've been listening to and or share it with your friends. This allows more people to become aware of the podcast and ergo learn more about perfect silence and meat-o diets.
And if you are planning on drawing any of our magical items from any of the shows, please send them in, DM us on Instagram, DM us on Facebook or on Twitter, or you can email us at startaset20@hotmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Let's bring the show to a close. As always, you've been our listeners. Roll well, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bow.